Items number one and two are adjourned combined hearings. Item one is a subdivision and rezoning for the southeast corner of Pipeline Road and Simpkin Drive under file DASZ 7 of 2009. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time. Item two is a variance for 157 Pipeline Road, southeast corner of Pipeline Road and Simpkin Drive under file DAB 109644 of 2009D.
Thank you. Is the applicant present? If you are, please give your name and address for the record.
My name is Bernhard Gertzen from Global Homes. I have some packages here. I thank the planner.
Mr. Gerson, before you start, we're going to limit the presentation to each one 10 minutes. 10 minutes for the for those who will be speaking for and against, because we have quite a number of people that are registered here in opposition. So proceed. Yeah.
I thank the planner and the city for their report. We accept the report. We just have one request on there, one or two. One is the services paid prior on Simpkin Drive. We request that with this standard that it be handled as a standard subdivision. If you have a house, we just subdivide one lot or two lots of a house. The fees are only charged on the lot what's divided off, not from the house, existing house already. So in this case, as you see on the first page there, that would be on the lots subdividing from fronting onto Simpkin Drive, which is 36.58 meters and 120 lineal feet. We are prepared for paying those services. This going with the standard of any subdivision, infill house subdivision in Winnipeg, as we have done quite a few times. And the other one is a side road flankage lot, and which the subdivision bylaw says that the flankage will be taken out. But I'm requesting that that is being taken out, the flankage part. We're only paying the front of the lots for the services on previously paid in Simpkin Road. That's the only request I'm making here, and I'm thanking the councillor.
That's it. Councillor, any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Councillor Packy.
Section are you referring to again? Sorry, with respect to the request that you're making? Of the you're talking about the DAZ report?
Yeah, I'm still talking about the DAZ report.
ECG report? Okay.
Lots of Simpkin Drive.
It's dealing with the services previously in Simpkin Road. I don't know. I just got the...
Are you referring to Simpkin Drive or Simpkin Road?
Simpkin Drive.
Okay.
Do a copy, right?
Yeah, I know. I believe clause B1B of the ACG report.
1B, okay.
Yeah, it's the 1B development agreement, yeah. There's actually,
Thank you.
there any further questions?
No, I get it.
There's actually one other request that I am, wanted to make is the, what we normally do is also exclude the area in the calculation where the existing house is. We exclude it from the development calculation. So it's instead of 0.81, I think it's 0.7 something. That's what the calculation for the area, that would be trunk charges and other charges, would be the area calculation. So we take the existing lot house out of it instead of including it into the calculation. That's the two, just two smaller requests I'm making. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
No further questions?
No.
Good. Okay, there's also in support is Perry McDonald. Is he present? Do you have anything to add? Okay, good. That's Ray Gertson. You have nothing to add? Thank you. Is there anyone else who is wants to speak in favor of the applicant? No one. Now we go into the opposition. We have a number of people here that, a good list here. I don't know if you want to come as groups or you want to speak individually, but I'll be calling out, I'll ask the clerk to call out each name, and those of you who want to speak, come downstairs and you will get your 10 minutes. Please don't be repetitive. Repeat what one delegation has said so you don't take too much time. And because we have one counselor has to leave here by 7 o'clock, hopefully we'll be able to be finished with this. So I'll get the clerk to read out the names. And those of you who want to speak, come downstairs and you will be allowed to speak. And like I said, once again, is don't be repetitive because then it causes confusion for the clerk that has to take the this is all being taped for our records. Madam Clerk.
Mark Gulab, speaking on behalf of Marie Gulab.
And would each of you please state your name and address for the record?
Name and address, sure. Hey, my name is Mark Golub, speaking on behalf of Murray Golub. The address is 74 Monty Hall Drive. Hey, greetings, counselors. For only the second time since my wife and I purchased a lot and built our house in Seven Oaks Crossings, do I find myself speaking before your committee about the plans for the development of vacant land in our community. In the past, your committee saw the wisdom of converting a large tract of land in our community into Jack Cole Place, a cul-de-sac. And you can see where it is on the map there. Having a fire station located there would surely have impacted negatively on the property values of the entire area. Again, we are faced with a somewhat similar concern. This time as a representative of 196 out of a total 197 property owners, we are unquestionably opposed to the proposed land subdivision of the property purchased by Global Homes and for a number of good reasons. Number one, people shopping for their next house are always significantly impacted by their first impressions when driving into a housing development, as well as their last impression as they depart. Whether they enter and depart from Seven Oaks Crossings via Leela Avenue and Simpkin Drive or via Pipeline Road and Simpkin Drive, their impressions of the quality of our area will be influenced by your ruling. City Council recognized that building the fire station where Jack Cole Place now stands would have negatively impacted the values of our homes. Considering the fact that Seven Oaks Crossings is worth in the vicinity of $60 million, 200 times 300,000, I hope that your committee would not want to reduce significantly the amount of taxes collected annually by introducing an eyesore there. Number four, over the past 20 plus years, the minimum building standards with which each homeowner had to comply when we first bought our lots from Genstar have been maintained or surpassed. The lot sizes, with very few exceptions, accommodated bungalows of at least 1,400 square feet and two-story homes of at least 1,750 square feet. Even when the city took over the land where Jackal Place now stands, the homes in this cul-de-sac maintained or enhanced property values in Seven Oaks Crossings. Turn to the second transparency, second sheet in the package, please. Now Global Homes has purchased one of the three remaining sections of land in our community, by far. It is surrounded by Jackal Place, Oakburn Place, and the four homes facing Willowwood Road. At a glance, by rezoning this land from an R1E residential single-family district to R1M and R1S residential single-family districts, you would enable Global Homes to subdivide and build the following nightmares. If you can turn to the next transparency, please. Six of seven lots with frontages in the 35-foot range, one narrowing to just over 16 feet. These lots average approximately 4,550 square feet. Most lots in the rest of our community approach or exceed 10,000 square feet, well over double these in Global Homes' proposal. Next transparency, please. If the lot sizes are restricted to 35-foot frontages, then obviously the sizes of the houses that Global Homes would like to build are going to be significantly smaller than those in the rest of our community. It appears that on lots 1, 4, 5, and 6, Global intends to construct houses of approximately 900 square feet with double attached garages of 18 by 20 feet or 360 square feet. Most, if not all, of the double attached garages in our area exceed 400 square feet. The combination of small lots, small houses, small garages will result in much lower cost housing, generating small taxes per unit than anywhere else in our development. Please keep in mind that a ripple effect will surely be the result, as these seven proposed lots will affect negatively the properties throughout our community. Property values are directly related to property taxes. If you look, next transparency, please. If you look more closely to the locations of the houses Global Homes wants to construct, all four houses drawn seem to violate some building codes, and I say seem. The sides of these houses are approximately 1 foot to 4 feet from their property lines. If a fence is built between lot one and the existing dwelling, not only is it going to be very difficult to walk past, but if a fire should break out in that house, well, one can imagine what would follow. A somewhat similar problem exists with the location and sizes of the other three houses. To address this would mean shrinking the size of these houses and bringing property values down further. Moreover, four of the seven properties face Pipeline Road. Having at least two more exits onto Pipeline Road increases the chances of collisions. What then are the logical alternatives? Global Homes recognize that this land is rare and should be developed. Just as our community committee assisted the councillors then to address the development of Jackal Place, I think we can assist your committee with Global Homes' proposal. Next transparency. Initially, two factors are of foremost importance. Firstly, subdivide this land into no fewer than three, but no more than four lots, still zoned R1E, residential single-family districts. Second, have these three 66-foot frontages or four 50-foot frontage lots only facing Simpkin Road rather than Pipeline Road. The advantages of either alternative become obvious. Larger houses can be constructed very similar in size to those already built in Seven Oaks Crossings. These three or four houses will fit in nicely. They will either maintain or enhance the integrity of property values in our community. Having their driveways exiting onto Simpkin Drive will eliminate the safety concerns that would surely arise if Global Homes' initial proposal were to be accepted with three or four of their seven properties exiting onto Pipeline Road. Please protect our $60 million investment. Thank you.
Anna.
Thanks. Good.
You know, I'm not going to try to stop you from doing that, but once you do that, it distorts our recording. The recording is done by the clerks. That's why I keep asking for the name and address for the record. Once the applauding takes place, it may distort what is said for a period of... Any questions, Councillor? None? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Who's the next?
Dominika Bricacci.
You're okay? Thank you.
Rajinder Sidhu.
You're okay? Thank you.
Vijay Mahadio.
You're okay? Thank you.
Frank and Brenda Dahl.
You're okay?
A. Jacob.
You're okay? Good.
Stephanie Oquat and Brad Okarat.
You're okay? Good. Thank you.
Richard DeWeyita.
You want to speak? Come forth and give your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Richard DeWeyita. I live at 27 Oakburn Place, and I've been a resident in Seven Oaks Crossing since November of 1987. I'm here in two respects. One is to address a letter written by Diane Chuck and Kyle Sawyer, who were unable to attend due to the postponement of these proceedings. And also, I would like to make a few comments on my own. Firstly, on behalf of the Sawyer family, who reside at 2 Willowwood Road in Seven Oaks Crossings, but were unable to attend. In respect to the proceedings listed here below, Diane was one of the committee members canvassing the area and received resounding support from residents who originally purchased empty lots in the mid-80s and were required to adhere to the rules and regulations established by the City of Winnipeg Planning Department when building their dream homes. Residents who were purchasing their second or third home in Seven Oaks Crossings because of the wonderful community atmosphere homes had offered the extra comfort of a double attached garage or family room after years of work, hard work, and saving harder to purchase their dream home. New residents of Jack Cold Place, who were just 3 years ago purchased a lot in a cul-de-sac deemed suitable by the City of Winnipeg planners and then built homes again within certain restrictions and guidelines, all intended to maintain the design and integrity and synergy of the development. I was overwhelmed by the support of the neighborhood and the gratitude expressed to the committee for taking the initiative to speak up for the residents of Seven Oaks Crossings. We do not want the city to grant this variance to Global Homes. Now, Global Homes may argue that the land is not part of Seven Oaks Crossings and therefore not subject to the same rules and restrictions, but it is adjacent to and reasonable for any non-residents to assume it is part of our development. And seven homes on a lot is not conducive to a favorable first impression. I have lived in the Seven Oaks, West Caledonian area many years. For most of my life. I love the area and multiculturalism and sense of community. I live here. I'm not here to make a fast buck and get out. So I want my voice heard regarding my neighborhood. As a resident of Seven Oaks Crossings for over 13 years and directly affected by Global Homes' proposed subdivision, since our home backs directly onto the lot in question, my family strongly opposes the variance request. With the proposed 30-foot lots, in essence, the eaves of any home would overhang our fence. Our view would be obstructed since the only way to build would be up. There would be absolutely no resemblance of privacy in our backyard, and our backyard would have diminished sunlight due to the proximity of the home in our back and the backyard. We work hard to maintain our home, and in fact, took advantage of the federal government's home renovation tax credit. It is unbelievable that the City of Winnipeg is contemplating reducing the value of our property by building homes out of context with the development after we have spent $10,000 to improve and maintain our home value. Most households these days have two cars. Where does the city think that 14 cars can park without creating congestion, noise, and risk to someone using the sidewalk? Approving driveways close to stop signs at Pipeline is hazardous. I have a statement from Kathy Horechka, a respected member of the City of Winnipeg real estate profession, who adamantly states that our property values would be negatively affected if the city allows the proposed development. Is the city prepared to compensate the homeowners of Seven Oaks Crossings for a bad decision that devaluates our property? I do not think so. The north end of the city of Winnipeg is not growing at the same pace as the south end, and I have no wonder if this preposterous idea would be accepted in Waverly West. We are taxpayers and concerned citizens asking council to recognize that we love community and we won't allow a developer to adversely affect our homes. We live in a democratic society, and as I see it, we have to decide between the rights of 197 homeowners and the desire of one developer. It is a simple math and should lead to the simple decision. Reject the application by Global Homes to have seven homes on that piece of property. We are Seven Oaks Crossings, not Seven Homes Crisscrossing. We understand the need to develop the land, particularly after this summer, when Global Homes only cut the grass twice and there was infested with a mouse population explosion. So we support the development of the land, but into size lots that complement and are consistent with the existing homes. We recommend that there should be no more than 3 to 4 lots in that entire parcel of land, similar to the lots in development. And she has some maps here that she would like distributed. The city would benefit from annual property taxes in the $4,000 to $5,000 range and yet maintain the integrity of the development. This community has a history of being willing to go the distance and fight for what it is best for Seven Oaks Crossings. I urge you to support us in this fight and reject the proposal by Global Homes. Signed, Diane Chuck Sawyer.
Thank you. Any questions, Commissioner? Thank you, sir.
Here are the maps, and these are. I would also like just to add on to my own notes the fact that I think this area only has two access and exit entrances, one on Simpkin leading to Pipeline Road, the other at Simpkin leading to Leela. At the Leela exit entrance, I think there has been a precedent set by the construction of a service road so that the houses at that corner do not have to back on directly to Simpkin at the stop sign. I have great concerns about the safety of cars backing on to Simpkin, especially so close to the stop sign. I secondly have a concern regarding snow removal, snow hills that would be created with three extra driveways in such a small area, and the heavy traffic flow in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next, Madam Clerk.
Robert Clayton. Mike Slavinsky, or Mark Slavinsky. Sandra Coulter.
Yeah, would you state your name and address for the record?
Sandra Coulter, 15 Willowood Road.
Thank you.
Good evening. Most of what I had to say has already been said, and I'm sorry that Mike isn't here, being our city, our councillor for our area. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. And basically, with what the other people have already spoken, I have pretty much the same to say. I've been a realtor broker for 30 years, and I in residential sales, and I know all too well how splitting a small parcel of land, it's not a big parcel, it is a small parcel, into so many lots at the entrance to this subdivision will definitely have a negative impact in our area. To preserve the integrity of the area, this developer should be obligated by the city to maintain the same standards that were established originally in Seven Oaks Crossing, and to allow him to subdivide and build small homes in these small lots would in effect be creating infill housing. And really it's nothing more than infill housing, because they would be very small, narrow lots. Somebody spoke about there being, I don't know that they can even build garages on those lots, because if they're putting on a 30-foot lot and they're putting a house on it, there is no space to put a garage. There is nowhere to drive beside the house to get to that long backyard. So I can't see how they can possibly have garages, as shown on one of the pictures. I think it's impossible. What else did I write here that wasn't? I did speak here as well about Jack Holt Place and the homes that were built in that subdivision, that little bay. They're all very large homes with the double garages. They conform to the area. The property taxes are the same as the rest of the homes in the area, and they're all in the range of probably $3,500 to $5,500 for property taxes. I don't know what you would get on a small 30-foot lot with a small home on it in the way of taxes, but it's certainly not in keeping with the balance of the subdivision. Basically, I think it's our view collectively, as you can see by the turnout, that if the city did elect to permit this subdivision of land as requested, it would be a great miscarriage of justice. And we respectfully request that the councillors enforce the standards that were previously set and approved. The majority of homeowners present have always supported Councillor O'Shaughnessy when he was seeking his re-election, and we accordingly urge you, the councillors that are here tonight, to give this matter your utmost and due consideration. Keep in mind that as community-minded representatives, we're confident that you will make the right decision, as you have always displayed in the past. As for the developer, we feel that if he were in our position, he'd understand why we're opposing this. And we encourage Global Homes to be a good corporate citizen, not wanting to offend the homeowners, and understand our position. We really, really feel strongly that this is wrong, and if they chose to put three lots, it would make more sense. And I do agree with the first person that showed the sketch. Three homes with double attached garages would conform and stay the same as the balance of Seven Oaks Crossing. I thank you for your time, and I'm sorry if I was a bit repetitive too, right, but I did want to have my say.
You have a right. That's your right.
And
any questions?
This is on behalf of myself, Sandra Coulter, and Marcel Sharkey, and we ask for your support in rejecting this application.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to give that as on file?
Sure. Some of it is repetitive.
Councilor Pachtikan has a question, Sandra. Same as Coulter. A question. Councilor Pachtikan.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Coulter, thank you very much for your delegation. I appreciate that you're from the real estate industry, so thank you. I'm just looking at the map here, and on Willwood, you refer to the taxes, and yes, they're about 37. They range from 37 to about 4,000. On the west side of Pipeline, anywhere from 1,000 to 900.
Those are side-by-sides on Pipeline.
Right. And then on Kushner, west of that is about 1,800, 1,500, somewhere there. And Oakburn,
what
similar.
Street did you say they were 1,800 on? I'd like to move there.
On Kushner.
Oh, that's the Maples part. They're older homes. They're not even of the same caliber as what we have in Seven Oaks Crossing. Okay. They're smaller bungalows and smaller two-stories. And they're much older. They're in the 30-year, 35-year mark at this point.
Okay.
Yeah. Our subdivision is around the 15 to 25-year range. And the homes vary from, don't think there's anything in the 1,400 square feet. I don't believe so. I think they're more like 1,650 up to about 2,800.
Were you able to get any sense of the value of the homes that are being proposed for this development?
On 30-foot lots, not much of a value. I would say probably in the range of $150,000.
I mean, market value, sorry.
Market value. Okay. They're 30-foot lots. It's the same as going back to living when I lived on Aberdeen Avenue. We had 25 and 30-foot lots. You cannot build a garage, and I'd like to see a plan where he can show me how he'd put in a garage, because there's only room. If they've got three lots on Simpkin and four planned for on Pipeline, they're long and narrow, and there is no way you can have a garage. It's impossible, absolutely impossible. And if he can build a garage on any of those lots, putting seven of them in, I'd kiss his you-know-what, because it's impossible.
Okay. Thank you very much. The developer will get a chance to respond, but I appreciate it.
Do we get a chance to say something after then, too?
No, so this is your only chance to say something. So.
Okay. Well, I don't know which map you're looking at, but the caliber of homes is in the range of, I don't think there's anybody in Seven Oaks Crossing that's paying under $3,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
Mine alone on my house are $4,700 net.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I was just looking at it from...
Look into the other section, though, because Seven Oaks Crossing is just between Leela and Pipeline, and that's it. And it's a small subdivision, and it's not the same caliber because it's newer than the previous part in the Maples from where the side-by-side start. And like you said, Kushner Drive, Doubleday Drive, those are all older homes now, and they're smaller. The majority are smaller. And they don't have double-attached front garages either on a lot of them.
Yeah. I appreciate your point, but you can't take the fact away that it is on Simpkins. I mean, on Pipeline, so it is part of the neighborhood.
Pardon me?
It is part of the neighborhood, I'm just saying.
It is part of the neighborhood, but we're talking about the entrance to our subdivision, which it is part of. That lot that he's proposing, seven lots, is part of our subdivision.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Rita Feuerstein. Rita Feuerstein.
You're okay. Thank you.
Jody and Howie Gilmore.
Good evening, Jody Gilmore, 7 Oakburn Place. When my neighbors and I learned of the proposed rezoning and subdivision of the lot at 157 Pipeline Road, we could not believe that Global Homes was proposing to squeeze seven houses onto that lot. When my husband and I purchased our lot on Oakburn Place 17 years ago, we were aware that one day when the pipeline property was sold that it may be subdivided. However, we proceeded to build our home in good faith that any redevelopment would fit in with the other lots in the neighborhood. We never imagined that a variance application would be entertained that not only did not meet city bylaws, but one that, if allowed, will have a substantial negative impact on our property values. Last December, I was one of the group that canvassed the residents of Seven Oaks Crossings and Pipeline Road. We found that the vast majority of homeowners shared our concerns and opposition to the current plans for the lot. Not just the homeowners whose properties bordered the pipeline lot, but residents throughout the whole subdivision, those who live in the furthest corners away from Pipeline and Simpkin. And now I'd like to present, we have the petitions here. We have 176 letters addressed to Councillor O'Shaughnessy and 262 signatures on our petition, and I'd like to just read out the petition to you. We, the undersigned, who will be affected by the requested rezoning and subdivision change described in file DASZ 7/09, do hereby protest against the subdivision of the lot at 157 Pipeline Road into seven lots, the widths of the proposed lots, because they will be far less than the average widths of lots in Seven Oaks Crossing subdivision, to which 157 Pipeline Road abuts, and the widths of three of the proposed lots, because they are less than the minimum 35 feet width stipulated in Section 138.1 of Bylaw 200/206. Oh, sorry, 2006. We are not against developing the land at 157 Pipeline Road. However, the lot in question not only abuts seven properties in our subdivision, but it is surrounded by the subdivision on its north, east, and south boundaries. Therefore, any development of that parcel of land will impact on our neighborhood. Our concerns are our property values will be negatively impacted by the size of the proposed lots, especially the widths, as the proposed sizes do not comply with lot sizes in the surrounding area. The side yard of the two lots abutting lots in Seven Oaks Crossings will only be 2 to 4 feet, so the dwellings on those lots will only be 2 to 4 feet from existing backyard fences. Allowing the rezoning of this lot could open the way for the rezoning of other undeveloped lots in the neighborhood and the lack of parking space available on that city block to accommodate 6 additional houses. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Councillor? Thank you. Can you give that copy of the petition signal to the clerk? Look here. Thank you. Thank you. We'll share it. Madam Clerk, next.
Arthur Chapman.
Would you state your name and address for the record?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Arthur Chapman. I live at 95 Oakhurst Crescent. I want to thank you for the opportunity of appearing here this evening. First off is a technical question. I note that, I thought you said that this involved the southeast corner of Pipeline and Simpkin. I believe it's the northeast corner. Yeah, but I think someone said southeast corner.
Oh yes, it does state that in our thing here. So yeah. It's northeast.
Okay, so just so we're clear on this is the northeast corner. I've lived in Seven Oaks Crossing since September 25th, 1992. My house will be old enough to vote this year. In this time, Seven Oaks Crossing has united on 2 and now 3 occasions to fight different developments. One of them was the fire hall. I worked with Mr. Golub's father, and I worked with Ms. Coulter on that and presented before, and Mr. Lazarenko might remember that. We argued vehemently against the fire hall, and I learned from Mr. Golub at the time is that anyone can say no, 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 no. But what Mr. Golub showed us at the time was that it's a good idea to make life easier for all concerned, particularly for the city council, is to propose alternatives. And the alternative we proposed at the time ended up being Jack Colt Place. The end result was the city sold land, made money off the initial sale of the land to the various homeowners, and is now making presumably a fair amount in tax revenue from it. The end result was we were happy, the fire hall was put in another location, the residents are happy, and presumably it did the city's financial picture some benefit. A number of years later, there was a plan to put commercial lots of sorts north of Leela at the corner of Pipeline and Leela. This might have allowed convenience stores and other undesirable types of commercial development. We argued against that. The end result was they said, yes, there can be, we're not opposed to development per se, but only that it be compatible with the neighborhood. And as a result, there were condominiums and apartments, and presumably the city's earning revenue, and the residents of our area are happy because it's compatible with our neighborhood, and our property values are being maintained. We stand here again doing the same thing, and it's not that anyone is opposed necessarily to this development, that the owner of this land or the real estate agent, real estate developer in question is not allowed to develop it, that it has to say the same. We're saying no. We're saying that, yes, develop it, but keep it in keeping with the neighborhood. It can be done. Mr. Golub's presentation shows how it can be done, and he certainly has a very positive track record on this. And it may, some of this may be repetitive, I apologize. We relied, when we moved into this area, the rezoning bylaws and attached to our respective property titles, saying this is what you are allowed to do. This is what everyone's allowed to do. Buildings have to be of this size minimal, this size, this percentage of brick on the front exteriors, etc. We bought this property in good faith knowing this. And so far, the neighborhood has the developer has maintained it, the residents have maintained it, and there's no reason not to do this. This neighborhood has been a real success story, right? Most of the lots in the area have sold, and the houses built have complied with the requirements. Jack Colt was added, as mentioned, and it complies. Now, technically, some of this fronts onto pipeline, and Ms. Gilmore points out that north, south, and east of it fronts Seven Oaks Crossing. There's also a sign on pipeline that says Seven Oaks Crossing, and no one driving in, when that sign is there, is going to be able to appreciate the fine hair splitting saying, well, no, it's really not part of Seven Oaks Crossing. As far as everyone driving in is concerned, it will. The end result of this is you will have properties not terribly great value that will not pay significant tax revenue and which will diminish the value of our properties. The end result is that the amount of taxes you will receive from us may not be as great in the future. The amount of tax revenue that you will receive from these properties if they're sold will not be as great. Plus, it will set a precedent because at the other end of Willowwood, Monty Hall meets up with Oakhurst Crescent, is another vacant lot. There's a house there, and presumably that will be subdivided in due course. This will set a precedent, and not a very good one. So far, the precedent has been is that if you're building in Seven Oaks Crossing, you build in keeping with what everyone else has done there. It has served the neighborhood well. It's been a win-win situation for council, the residents, the developer. Everyone has won. There is no reason to change. The developer, with respect, has not given any reason that the plan we're suggesting cannot work. We're not opposed to development, only that it be in keeping with the area. No reason has been given to say that it cannot work this way. It can, it ought to, and it should. And subject to any questions you might have, that's my argument.
Any questions, Councillor?
No. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next.
Kathy Salt.
Thank you.
Byron Salt.
Hi, my name is Byron Salt, and I live at 11 Oakburn Place. I want to thank you for hearing me, and I want to apologize in advance if I fumble through this presentation. I'm really not comfortable with public speaking, but I think this is necessary. I speak to the planned subdivision at 157 Pipeline Road. A petition in the neighborhood resulted in signatures of virtually all of the 197 homes opposing the planned subdivision proposed by Global Homes. This subdivision should not be allowed for many reasons, some of which I will address. One major concern has been repeated before, and I'm sorry that if it gets repetitive, but I'll try not to do a lot of that. One major concern is a lot width average Frontages in our area are 55 to 60 feet. Bylaw 200-2006 states that a subdivision shall have lot widths comparable or the same as all lots within 200 feet of this proposed subdivision. If I'm not clear on that, in my opinion, that means they're touching our subdivision, they're within 200 feet of it, they need to have lot widths of the same dimension. Parking is an issue, as has been previously brought up. You put all these lots here, you've got snow clearing issues, you've got parking issues. Visitors will not be able to park in front of their spaces. They'll be parking on Oakburn or Willowwood or other streets. This is unacceptable. The small lots with little or no side yards is also a concern. It will have a negative impact on our property values. As you've heard before, it will not blend with our existing community. Seven Oaks Crossing is a minimum square footage community, similar to Lindenwoods. And I need to state that to Mr. Pactican, who was questioning what this community is. This community is a minimum square footage community. It's an important community. It's an expensive community. Global Homes wants to do a development, have undersized lot width homes, jam homes on these lots with little to no side yards. Shared driveways on two of the property are sharing one driveway. Unacceptable. Global Home wants to move in, make money, leave with no care or concern for our community. While Global Homes counts their money and moves on to the next project, as he has stated, he does many of these, 197 homeowners in Seven Oaks Crossing will be disillusioned and upset if the subdivision goes on as proposed. In 20 years from now, the majority of all of us will still be living in this community we love. We do not want the stain of this project to affect our quality of life in our homes. I speak to zoning. We have tons of land to develop in this city. I'm confused as to how you could recommend acceptance of the subdivision when it clearly does not fit with the standards of Seven Oaks Crossing. Land development in established areas should conform with that neighborhood. Zoning within the city is supposed to ensure consistent quality development, meaning the lot sizes and widths similar to Seven Oaks Crossing. I think zoning department has failed badly in accessing this property, and they are recommending the acceptance of the subdivision, I might add, and do not understand their I do not understand their motivation for accepting anything less than adjacent standards. This is a no-brainer. We have 197 tax-paying homeowners in Seven Oaks Crossing, not saying do not develop, but saying develop to neighborhood standards. We have rights. We have say. We have invested interest in this community that we have made our home. We insist that any development should fit our community and not have any negative impact on our neighborhood or property values. Global Homes, on the other hand, is driven by profit. They don't care about our community, and they will be gone long after, and we'll have to live with the result Global Homes did. Global Homes did not offer any type of community meetings. They did not do a mailing or ask our opinion. They are trying to rab this subdivision through. Their first indication of this was the postponement of the hearing back in and moving it to now. This is a tactic that's commonly known. It's meant to disillusion us, and it's meant to soften our resilience on this issue. Global Homes bought this property as a single-family dwelling. They do not have an inherent right to do what they want. In closing, I say once again, listen to 197 homeowners who pay taxes and have today and for many years to come an invested interest in keeping Seven Oaks Crossing their home and ensuring that our community is developed in a manner complying with Bylaw 200-2006. Do not accept this planned subdivision by Global Homes, who once they are finished and they have made their profits will just move on to another project. Sorry.
Council, any questions?
I'm not done yet.
Well, you're not finished?
I'm sorry, I just missed my page.
Thank you.
There's no interest in our concerns. Global Homes did not offer interest in what is best for our community, and I say this because if they did, they would have had meetings with the homeowners of Seven Oaks Crossing and would have planned a subdivision without confrontation but with communication. One last thought, if this subdivision is approved and my property value and others go down as a result of this, who do we send our bills to? Thank you.
Question, Councillor Pechtakin.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thanks for the presentation. And just a quick question. Like you said, you're echoing some of the thoughts of the previous delegates. You're not opposed to development. You're just saying that this development should be consistent with the current standards of Seven Oaks Crossing.
Yes, yes. I could actually add that I looked at purchasing this property exactly for the reason of what's happening today. And I talked to planning, and I went through with the Street and Waterworks people and that, and I had a three-lot proposal on this property because that fit the synergy of our development.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Next one.
Ron Glennie.
You're fine. Good. Thank you.
Robert Shiroff.
Okay, thank you.
Giovanni Versace.
Good evening. I'm Giovanni Versace from 78 Struchak Bay. I'm going to try and not repeat a lot of the stuff that was said, although it probably is necessary to repeat some of it. I've moved this weekend. It will be 2 years that I've moved onto Struchak Bay. I had lived in the West Kildonan area prior, some 27 years ago, prior to this area being there. And I went from there to St. James. 2 years ago, I decided to come to this area. And the end result there is that I left an area where I was paying $2,800 for taxes for a 1,500-square-foot home and came here, and it's still a 1,500-square-foot home, and my taxes are, when I moved in, were $4,200. I didn't move in just because I loved the taxes. I moved in because I loved this particular development. And as some people said before, there are two gates to this Seven Oaks Crossing. And I came from the west side, and I saw the plaque on the corner there, which says Seven Oaks Crossing. And I thought, doesn't look so bad. Let's take a look. I liked it. I moved in. If a development like this was there, the way they're proposing it, I wouldn't have given it a second look to this place. I would have just kept driving. Because this development is not an improvement. The place will go down if this comes about. This, as somebody said, it's an infill development, and if that's what the global development wants to do, there is many, thousands of lots that they could do this development in. Anywhere else in the city, there is lots of room. So this is an area that should be preserved. It's an area that I would like to be in, and as some people said, and even my thoughts, without even talking to them, I think this area would be good for about three homes. And they may argue that this is not part of the Seven Oaks Crossing development, but when three of the lots that are proposed are going to be going right onto Simpkin, that is beyond what I call the gate to this area, and that is part of it. And to say otherwise is trying to fool somebody. And we're not here to be fooled. So I think you should do the right thing and turn this down. And really, that's all I have to say is this development is not for that area.
I have a question for you, sir.
Councillor Pechtakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you're saying Are you saying to me that you don't want any development there, or are you saying that you just don't want this kind of development there?
This kind of dense development is not good, not with those lots. Three houses would fit in very well, in keeping with the rest of it. I think three would be good. You could probably, I don't know what else you could do on the pipeline side if they could squeeze one in behind, but that would really be detrimental to the lots if they are facing Simpkin.
Okay, thank you.
So three, maximum four, but three would be best.
Okay.
More than that, it's a mistake.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Peter Fierenstein.
Thank you.
Joan Glennie.
Thank you.
Heather Bancroft.
Thank you.
Linda McDonald.
Thank you.
Ken Berezowski.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Karen Schroff.
Thank you.
Dusant and Bozana Justic.
Okay, thank you.
Len Miller.
Thank you.
Pardon me.
I need someone to come down. I have a question to ask.
Don't worry. You'll get it.
Okay.
You'll get it.
Trevor Dyson.
Thank you.
Norman Rosenblatt.
Thank you.
Jim Kulik?
Agree, thank you.
Kenneth Allen Butler.
Thank you.
Maria Melnick.
Thank you.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm with the pronunciation of the name Romano Turaminio at 31 Simpkin Drive. Romano?
Roman, you okay?
Resident at 31 Simpkin Drive.
You're okay, good. Thank you.
Michelle Hook Fartuk?
Feintuck,
pardon me.
Okay.
Ron Sarkowski?
Thank you. Just before I call on the applicant for rebut, Councillor Paktikin, you had a question of...
I wanted to ask someone a question, but no one wanted to come down. Okay, come down.
Okay, would you state your name and address for the record?
Okay, my name is Frank Dale, and I live at 75 Oakhurst Crescent.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I would also like to, because you've placed a question earlier on, and I didn't really hear it answered by anybody, I would like to come back to you. You've asked something about what do you think these houses might be worth.
Yeah.
And $150,000 a piece, I don't believe that's accurate. I'm probably thinking they're going to be around the $200,000 mark. But what we are talking about, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody in the city of Winnipeg or anybody's what kind of house they have, but we are talking about habitat-style houses, narrow and long, thin houses on small lots that are not going to have the standard 5-foot clearance on the lots. Okay, so that's going to be a problem. You put it in that development, we're going to have a safety issue on pipeline with cars entering and leaving on pipeline. Now, you asked what do you think we could put on there, and you said, well, on the other side of pipeline, there's side-bys. You know what? To tell you the honest truth, and I'm going to get yelled at by this, I probably don't have a hard time with that. I would like probably to see two nice custom-built side-bys with a back lane so you don't have to have access onto pipeline. And that would leave you enough space to build one house that is actually the same as the rest in the neighborhood. So when you say six houses, you're talking 1.2 mil. And I believe that if you build two fairly nice side-bys on pipeline, you're going to be talking at least $350,000 for properties, which would be $700,000. Then if you have one property left and you're going to build a house that's accustomed to the area, that house would be in the $300,000 plus mark. So we're talking property values all of the same amount. And then it would be consistent to the area.
Thank you. And your comments are perfect segue to my question, which was, as far as you know, okay, because you live right in the neighborhood, were you given an opportunity or was an open house conducted relative to this particular development?
You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. Every other development we had in the area, and I've been on the other two committees that spoke against this, the other two developments, we were given opportunities by the city and by the developer who wanted to put the small retail shopping center in on Pipeline and Leela. We were given opportunities for that.
Okay.
This developer came in and did nothing.
Okay.
All we saw is one day a sign popped up, and thank you very much for the City of Winnipeg offering such a large sign so we know what's going on in the neighborhood, not just a little yellow post-it someplace. But I thank you, and I'm sure the rest of the area does. But did we have any input into what we would like? We wouldn't be standing here wasting your time if that was the case.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The applicant. Is there anyone else that wants to speak in opposition? Or for information? None. Would the applicant please come forth? You have the right to rebut. You've heard some of the comments have been made by people who are in opposition to your application. And if you could address some of those concerns that they've raised before we proceed to make the final decision. You can proceed.
Okay, thank you. The houses I on this sheet where what is sent around this information sheet. You see the houses, what will be built on there, what they sent earlier. And all the houses have a double attached garage. So the houses sell between 270 and 300,000. They're very good looking homes, very proud people who live in there.
I got it.
They take care of their homes, just as anybody else does would have $500,000 homes. I would not diminish that when they're not proud people there. The existing house on the corner, those are all houses and exactly those footprints we have put on there to the city, those homes will be built on there. It's a cap over, it's over $300,000. There's another one, it's over 1,000 square foot, that's $280,000, and there's a smaller one that's $279,000. It's not under $250,000 home there. The existing development in any areas is to, now reduced to 30-some square foot. The area is on Simpkin Drive. There are long lots. Their square foot area is quite big. The front is good, and the houses will look just fine. Very nice homes will be there. The alternative is we can leave the house, the old house on there, with the empty lot there for the next 15 years and rent it out, if that's what the neighborhood wants. I have no problem with that. I don't think this development we'll be making there will look much better. It will be nice and clean. The house in the corner, what is existing there, will be totally renovated and also restocked. New roof on there, everything will be done new. It will look like a new home, same as all the other ones. As for the parking, I think it's there's lots of room for parking on the streets and also on the driveway. They have 25-foot setback from the street like anybody else on the road has. The was brought up to postpone the meeting from last time. It was not a tactic. It was a necessity. I was overseas. I couldn't come. So that's why they postponed a meeting last time. I couldn't be here for that, and I wanted to be here for that meeting. So it was not a tactic. I'm sorry. It was very sincere. The tax value, I did a calculation on the tax value on the homes. If you have four homes or six homes or seven homes on there, the tax value is much more on the seven homes than would be on three or four homes. We did the calculation on that part, so I think tax value. It will not affect any which way on other, on the neighbors there or on the value of their homes. If the home is $270,000 up, it's not even facing the rest of the neighborhood. If you look at the Google map there, everybody's has a backyard to it. So none of them facing direct onto it. And I have built houses across the street, and other ones I've built across the street where you have $600,000 homes here and $250,000 homes right across the street or right on the neighborhood. So that is, does not diminish any value on the other neighbor in the area. I've been in the business for a long time and know the value of the homes, and it will not affect any way, shape, or form on it. Anyway.
Mr. Gertsen, the question was asked of one of the opposition. Did you hold any public consultation with the area residents on your proposal prior to you making the application?
No, we were not informed. We didn't know there was actually quite a bit of opposition to it till 2 days ago. Had I known there would be quite a bit of opposition, I would have been very willing to hold a meeting with them. If it would have changed the plan of subdivision, I don't know at this point, because I don't think it's adversely affecting any of their values whatsoever. Those are very nice homes, very good values homes, and doesn't affect the neighborhood.
When the application was brought to us the first time, I believe the same people were present at that time in opposition, but they did not speak because we did not open the public representation to this application. So therefore, and you were not here, you were not present at that time. My second question to you as the applicant, you've heard most of the complaints that we have heard tonight are people opposing to the side of the lots. They want the status quo, I would assume, to have bigger lots as what is in the area now. If the committee would reject this, would you be willing to reconsider and build homes that would match the aesthetics of the rest of the community?
The property value, the way the price would be paid for the property, it has to be a certain amount of lots there and certain amount of homes built. I probably would consider leaving Simpkin Drive undeveloped and doing the service road on pipeline. But there's not much what you can do with that property, because one way it's 150, 160 feet deep. So you have a lot of property if you're 50 foot wide. So you cannot disperse the cost. What the city wants, $150,000 for a Simpkin Drive for them. You're paying $300,000 for the property itself. Now you divide that by three lots, you have over $150,000 per lot. It's just, there's no feasibility in there. There's no way it can be done. So the cost of it, what the city wants, and the cost of the development and all the other costs with the service road and that, it's just, there's no other way to do it or leave the property the way it is. Like, it's really the only thing you can do there. And that's one of the reasons why we had considered other proposals. We did a calculation on the cost of the development, and there was no money in it whatsoever. The only reason why we can do it is because we are a developer ourselves, and we also build the homes ourselves. So if we lose on the uh, on the development part, we still able to be able to make a little bit on the housing part. So that's the only reason how we can make it.
Thank you.
Mr. Gritson, thank you. What I wanted to ask you was with respect to the current side yards that you have in this particular proposal, what is the side yards on?
Four-foot side yards.
Okay. Yeah. Now, in the ACG report, it's requiring that you have the frontage road as 9 meters. It's my understanding that you're saying that you wanted it to be 5 meters or something to that effect?
I saw in the planner's report say his request at a saying that it would be 6 meters.
Nine meters for the frontage yard, for the frontage road, 9 meters. And that's what's required in the ACG report. And I'm just asking that if it's anything other than that, then what's going to happen with the current configuration, lots 1, 2, and 3? Will that be reduced in size?
I don't have my planner's report here. I thought I was reading 6 meters on the service road. Was not? Okay.
Is he correct?
I thought they had it read on my planner's report, what they had today, what they gave me this afternoon.
Pardon me?
No, it's requested that we make it 5 meters.
You're right.
I thought they had seen the papers, what they had given me today. I had seen 6 meters on there, right? What they handed out today.
Okay, so if you're requesting 5 meters, what I was asking you then is the lot configurations on lots 1, 2, and 3, would they change? Would they be reduced or changed?
If it would be 9 meters?
If it was 9 meters, correct.
They would be shorter.
They'd be shorter.
Yeah, but we have on King Edward Road, a service road on King Edward, the three phases on King Edward, we did them all 4.8 meters, the service road. And there are 67 houses on there with service road with 4.8 meters of service road.
And just a question for you. With the existing dwelling there at the corner of Simpkin and Pipeline, that you're keeping that in your plan today?
Yeah, what we're doing is we're really going to do a good job on renovating it and making it, restockle it, residing it, put some brick on and stuff so that it fits better the area. It will be a very nice development. It's no question about it. Very nice homes.
Is that it? Councillor Pankin, that's it for questions? That's it, Mr. Gerson?
Thank you.
Are you finished? Thank you. Now, we have to make a decision. This cannot be laid over. We laid it over once. It cannot be. It has to be dealt with here tonight, and it'll work its way down to the Property Development Committee and then to Council. Councillor Pachtikin, you want to move a motion?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to thank the applicant for coming out, and I want to thank all the citizens, the residents of the Seven Oaks Crossing who've come here today, making representation for the community. This is a The way I usually like to see this, Mr. Speaker, is that, there's at least a happy medium with respect to these types of matters. And, I'm not the ward counselor for this neighborhood, so it's I don't understand all the intricacies of the neighborhood.
We got it.
But I appreciate what I've heard here today relative to the context and neighborhood. And I was on Google Maps checking out, the front elevations of all properties. In looking at Mr. Gertson from Global, these homes look pretty nice. I mean, to me, they don't look too bad. What's sad, though, for me is that this is the first time that the residents are possibly hearing about it or seeing it with the elevations. I don't think they've had an opportunity to look at it and to consider it, other than today, which is unfortunate. So what I'm compelled to do, Mr. Speaker, and I wish there was an opportunity to allow both the residents and the developer to have a chance to meet, but it sort of puts us in a tough spot where we have to today make a decision on it. I've seen success where the developer and the neighborhood have come together, and that there's sort of a happy medium, Mr. Speaker. In this case, I don't see the balance that I'm comfortable with. So with that, unfortunately, I can't really support this development today, unfortunately, Mr. Speaker, without providing the opportunity for the developer and the residents to get together, at least to have a discussion and a conversation about the homes, about the configuration, about the context of the neighborhood. I think those opportunities are uniquely important to success. So, at the same time, I'm trying to balance. I mean, I'm representing an inner city ward, Mr. Speaker. Infill development is always something that's near and dear to my heart, and I encourage that kind of stuff in the older parts of the city, but this is sort of a different situation. I think that this is prime real estate and that something fruitful can come out of this with a future application. So prepare to make a motion. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary, carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor? Contrary, carried.
And I just want to thank our administration for their analysis of this. And what I'm going to move, Mr. Speaker, is that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in, and that the reasons that I've given is that I would have wished for the developer and the residents to come together to have a conversation, and perhaps a different type of configuration perhaps may have come out of this. I think that the residents came here with a balanced point of view, and that what they're saying is that they are not opposed to development, but would like to see a development that is at least somewhat consistent with the neighborhood. And, I think that, it's our duty to try and find the balance here and to provide those opportunities for those conversations. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I will move those reasons and move that the hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Prior to us making the decision, I'd just like to echo what Councillor Pactican has been saying. The reason I asked the applicant if he had public consultation with the area resident, he says no. I believe that was something that might have been avoided, a lot of the issues that are here before us here today. I tend to stand on the position that I usually take, is when you have such a large amount of people that are living in the immediate area, they want to keep that neighborhood what they're used to. And this is something that is questionable when you have someone comes along and wants to build houses in a smaller lot, not a bigger lot, is what is in the area. The applicant also, like I said, this will be going to the, from us, it'll be going to the Property Development Committee, which they'll be making a decision. There will be no representation being made by anyone who appeared here today to the application of the subdivision rezoning. Then it'll work its way down to Council. And if the Property Development and Council would concur with the recommendation of the Community Committee, the applicant then has the right to make another application, consult with the area residents to what they want within the area, but it's not up to me to say that this is what they should do, I think, but he has that right to do that. Tonight's hearings we had here, I'm very glad for the people that appeared here as a delegation. They were professional to a point of saying that they knew what they're talking about. They were right to the point of what their concern is, and they addressed it very, very professionally. And I have to thank him for that. So with the, because we'll be voting on this subdivision rezoning, and the next one that's going to be a number two will be the variance. And the variance Councillor Packett-Kent will be moving in respect to that can be appealed. But that matter goes before that Property Development Committee. That can be appealed. So with that, you ready for the question?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Nil. The decision is the Community Committee did not concur with the recommendation from the Property Development. It's that this application be denied.
Mr. Speaker, on the variance,
aye.
I'm prepared to make a motion.
Yes.
I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor? Aye. Contrary? Carried.
I'll move that the receipt of public representations be concluded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried.
I'll move that criteria A to D of subsection 2473 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are not satisfied.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried.
I'll move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in.
All in favor? Contrary? Carried.
And for basically the same reasons stated in the first subdivision, and that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
Thank you. All in favor? Contrary? Carried. Now, here, my job, I have to read this out for the record that is being taped. For after the subdivision rezoning is included, please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to the Property Development Committee and then on to Council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by Council. And secondly, what we've done here with item number two is on the variance. That reads, please note that the committee's decision with respect to this application may be appealed. Should you wish to appeal, information on how to do so will be included in the order issued by the clerk, which will be mailed to all persons registered, and that's our good clerk here will do that. And with that, we have concluded the public hearing here tonight.
Mr. Chair, I'll move adjournment.
Councillor Packett-Kent moves adjournment. Before that, I want to thank each and every one. You made an effort of coming here to hear us, to hear you, and we've heard you, and so we stand all in favor, contrary, carried. We stand adjourned. Thank you.